So Matthew and me. This summer, we are going to be taking a look at a number of different passages from the book of Matthew. And so I thought to like kind of kick it off, let's talk about Matthew himself, the person in the Bible. He's definitely one of the most famous people in the Bible, it could be argued, Old and New Testament. It's one of the names that we usually remember, right? Matthew. He also is known as Levi, which is another kind of one of his names. And interesting thing here is in the Hebrew, Matthew means a gift from God, which is a pretty cool name, right? Or a meaning to your name. I have a brother named Matthew. His name was given Matthew. You know, it means a gift from God. And my parents, just a side note here, named me Scott. And you want to know the beautiful meaning to that name? One from Scotland. So they got one from Scotland and a gift from God. Sorry, that's just a side note there, Mom and Dad. But Matthew was obviously one of the 12 disciples. And in a minute here, I'm going to read about the calling of Matthew by Jesus. Matthew then became an apostle. Now remember, there's a difference between the disciple and an apostle. The disciples are followers of Jesus. That's you and I also. We are disciples, followers of Jesus. But when Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, he sent out these disciples to be apostles. That's what apostle means, a sent one, specifically by Jesus. And so Matthew was one of the apostles. He was an evangelist. He wrote the first book of the New Testament, right? He wrote the Gospel of Matthew. He preached, he taught, he wrote this book. He was an evangelist. And so we can definitely say that Matthew was a saint, right? There's all kinds of churches, no matter what denomination, named after Matthew. St. Matthew Lutheran, St. Matthew Baptist, St. Matthew Catholic, St. Matthew Presbyterian, St. Matthew Methodist, whatever. There's probably a church named after Matthew in every denomination. He was a hero of the Bible. He's a saint, right? However, in order to be a saint, you have to be a sinner, which is something Matthew also was a sinner. You see, saint, in its most basic sense, means a holy one set apart and called by Jesus. And so when we think of saints, we typically think of what? Dead people, right? That have gone on to heaven, which is true. They are saints. But you know what? You and I are already saints as well. Because of what Jesus did for us on that cross, we have been made righteous. We are saints. But while we live on this earth, some of us are more of a saint than others, am I right? Because we have this world that we live in now where we are saint and sinner at the same time, and we constantly are struggling while we're on this earth. But we are saints, which is what Matthew was and is. But in order to be a saint, you have to be a sinner. And that's exactly what Matthew was. So let's read about this in Matthew chapter 9. You can follow up on the screen, verses 9 through 13. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And Matthew rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Did you notice what Jesus, in those verses there, what Jesus said to Matthew, the sinner? He said the words, "Follow me." You see, Jesus is the one with the authority to do this. He is the one who chose to call Matthew. He is the one who chose to call each and every one of us because he has that authority. There's another interesting thing that popped up in these verses here. Jesus was hanging out with who? Tax collectors and sinners, which is an interesting phrase that Matthew puts here in his gospel, because that's what the Pharisee said. Jesus is hanging out with these tax collectors and sinners. The nerve of Jesus, right? So these tax collectors, this is what Matthew was, they were not very popular people. You know, kind of like Chicago Bears fans today. Sorry. But anyway, they were not popular people. They were seen as traitors by their fellow Jews because they were collecting tax for the Roman government. And so they didn't necessarily like these tax collectors, including Matthew. And some of these tax collectors would maybe take a little extra tax and keep it for themselves. A lot of times they fell into the temptations of greed and dishonesty. And as I mentioned, they were seen as traitors kind of by their fellow Jews. So they were not popular people. So who are tax collectors going to hang out with? They're going to hang out with other tax collectors because nobody else wants to hang out with them. And they're going to hang out with sinners. And by sinners here, people that would be viewed as sinners, probably prostitutes, probably other people that would be considered sinners because they're sinning in the public, whatever. This is who is at the meal with Jesus and Matthew. These tax collectors and sinners. You see, the Pharisees are basically just judging these people. They are judging them. They don't know really about them. They think that they, because of their righteousness, are way above these people that Jesus is hanging out with, those people. Notice, though, something about this meal that Jesus was having with these tax collectors and sinners. Nowhere does it say that Jesus is condoning their sin, right? You see, part of loving our fellow neighbor, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, part of love sometimes is to call somebody out in love if they are doing something wrong, which is probably exactly what Jesus was doing in this meal. He's loving them, but not condoning what they're doing. You see the difference there? And the point here with all of this is Jesus came to this earth, to walk on this earth, to call sinners. It's as simple as that. In fact, Jesus even said, "For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Which is exactly what Matthew was, which is exactly what you and I are, which is exactly what everybody at that meal was, which is exactly what the Pharisees were. We are all sinners. And Jesus came to call us. And it also says he didn't cut a sick person is the one that needs a doctor, not somebody who isn't sick. So you may be thinking, you know, I titled this sermon Matthew and Me. So what does Matthew, this hero of the Bible, this disciple turned into apostle, evangelist, wrote the first book of the New Testament, what does he have to do with me? Well, I wrote some things down here. like Matthew, you and I are sinners, right along with him. Like Matthew, Jesus called you. Like Matthew, we follow Jesus and his word, right? And that's what Matthew did for 3 years, as he followed Jesus, watching Jesus perform miracles, like Megan just talked to the kids about, watching Jesus heal people, watching Jesus teach and preach the good news. And that's exactly what you and I are like. Just like Matthew, we follow Jesus and his word. And like Matthew, we serve Jesus and his church. So I got a couple questions here for you. But I got the statement up on the screen first. It says, like St. Matthew, the call of Christ leads us into a life of service. Which is what happened to Matthew, which is what happens to you and I. And like I said, Matthew was called into service as one of Jesus' disciples. He was later called into service as one of Jesus' apostles, who became one of the great leaders of the early Christian church. And so my question for you this morning, what are the areas of service God has called you into? Because everybody, every one of you has been called into service. You don't have to be a pastor or a church worker to be called into service. What areas of service has God called you into? Or another way to put it, where has God planted you in this world? Who here is a mom, a dad, a grandpa, a grandma, an aunt, an uncle, a kid? A student. Each one of these roles has a different set of responsibilities. God has called you into that role. We can say, you know, this is one of your vocations. Another question. Are you a farmer, a teacher, an accountant, an engineer, a student in school? Are you a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker? No matter what you are, a stay-at-home mom, a stay-at-home dad, no matter where you are planted, this is where God has called you into service. This is one of your vocations where you can serve Jesus. Has God called you into service in this church here in Promise? Or maybe in some kind of organization here in Fort Wayne where you are serving the community? Has he called you into a place of service here? Maybe it's to set up communion, take down communion. Maybe it's to be on the board. Maybe it's to be an elder. Maybe it's to be somebody who just fixes something around the church. Maybe it's to count money. Maybe it's to lead a Bible class. Whatever it is. This is one of the areas of service God has planted you in. And so, for instance, I have a number of different roles. I've been called to be a husband to Zara. I can serve my wife and my marriage serving Jesus by the way I act, and I'm always that way, aren't I, Zara? I've been called to be a father of four daughters. Be the best father you can be, serving Christ. And I've been called to be a pastor here at Promise. And like I said, you don't have to be called into church work to receive a call from God. Jesus calls us all into different areas, whatever it is. Wherever you've been placed in this life, we have been placed in a life of service to Jesus, who is the servant, by the way, of all servants. the servant who came not to be served, but to serve. And this is the one who's calling us into service in his kingdom. And we've all got a spot in it. And Matthew's been telling us about this from the very beginning of his gospel. If you go back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it's Matthew telling about the birth of Christ. And they are told, Mary and Joseph are told to call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, we have a Savior, this servant who came not to serve. The Son of God came to be with us in human flesh, just so that he could go to the cross and bleed from that human flesh to cover our sins. And then we go to the very end of Matthew's gospel in Matthew chapter 28, right before Jesus goes up into those clouds, he says to Matthew and the other disciples there, "And lo, I am with you always." The last thing, Jesus is God with us. And don't ever forget that, no matter where you've been planted in this world, in this life, here in Fort Wayne or wherever in the surrounding areas, wherever God has planted you, Jesus is God with us, always. Amen. Let's pray.